Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning we give thanks for thy mercy, for thy grace, that thou hast brought us together on this day of worship. Holy Father, may thou not be glorified as thy word is declared. Blessed be the declaration as well as the reception of thy word. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray, I give thanks. Amen. It is one of the deep-seated human tendencies, our unwillingness to let go. We all have the natural inclination to hold on to things. We love to cling to people. That's why we struggle with separation. We love to cling to material possessions. That's why we struggle to give. We love to cling and hold on to experiences. That's why we document history, even ideas. And the reason for this tendency is not far-fetched. It is because holding on to these things reinforces our comfort zones, providing us with a sense of security, stability, and identity in a world that is filled with chaos. But this tendency can sometimes lead to a dark path, a path of bitterness, a path that can lead to some sinister thought. And especially when we hold on to past pain and experiences. You know, when you're unwilling to let go of past painful experiences, by default, you tend to open the door to feelings of resentment and unforgiveness, which can kindle within you a desire for vengeance, where you want whoever's offended you to experience the same pain that you've experienced. Now, while an unbeliever might find nothing wrong with this unhealthy pattern, because guess what? They did me wrong, I'm doing the same thing to them. But for a believer, this is a no-fly zone. A believer must take the high road and leave the vengeance to God. The Apostle Paul, in his epistle to the church at Rome, would write, he said, "Never pay back evil for evil to anyone, but respect what is right in the sight of all men." Then he goes two verses later, and he tells us again. He said, "Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." It is this exhortation this morning by the Apostle Paul that I want to draw your attention to, as I want to seek to explore even a deeper way the idea of vengeance. You know, why is it is important that we as God's people must not entertain that idea, but rather to leave vengeance to God. Now, one thing is true about the Bible. You know, the Bible is not an idealistic book that paints a fairy tale picture of human nature. You know, rather, it is a book that speaks clearly about human depravity, especially our tendency towards sin and evil, that we have the capacity to inflict the worst pain and evil on each other. You know, beginning from the book of Genesis, we read how Cain, sacrifice rejected by God, he turned his attention to his brother, inflicted evil on Abel, murdering him. Then we come to the New Testament. We read how godless men inflicted evil on our Lord Jesus Christ, nailing him to the cross. So it goes without saying that as humans, we have the capacity to inflict the worst evil on each other. But here is the pointed question for you as a Christian. You know, when evil is perpetrated against you as a Christian, how are you to respond? This was precisely what the Apostle Paul was addressing in Romans chapter 12, verse 19. And the Apostle Paul answers this question for us uniquely. First of all, it begins by telling us how not to respond. Again, I want you to pay attention to that. It begins by telling us how not to respond. It says here, it said, never take your own revenge. Now, this should beg a question. And the question that it should beg is that, why are we not to take our revenge? Why are we not to return evil for evil? Well, there are three reasons this morning I want you all to pay attention to from the page of Scripture. The first reason is this. You know, when you seek revenge, you erase your distinction. Loved ones, you want to write that down. You know, when you seek revenge, you erase your distinction. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus would teach us when he said, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. Whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone sues you, take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks, do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. Matthew chapter 5, 38 through 42. Now, the reason I believe the Lord Jesus is calling us to respond differently here can be found in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 5. And what does verse 15 say? 16. Verse 16 tells us here that you are the light of the world. So I want you to pay attention to that. The Lord Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, that you are the light of the world. You are a city on a hill. In essence, what Jesus was saying to us, that no matter how the darkness of evil comes against us, we must always maintain our distinction as light bearers. When we pay back evil for evil, we erase a distinction. When we act like they act, we erase our distinction. We must be people that illumine the light of Jesus Christ in a dark world. That yes, darkness of evil might come against us, but we must stand out as the light of the world that Jesus has called us to be. That is the reason that we don't pay back evil for evil to anyone. We don't exchange insult for insult, but we stand up because we are called to be the light of the world. I remember reading a magazine about the plight of our brothers and sisters in the northern part of Nigeria by an insurgents called the Boko Haram. How the homes were burned, many were killed, and our brothers and sisters were forced to go into refugee camps. And in that article that I read, the question was that, what are they to do? And one of those brothers will say, remember what our Lord Jesus taught us, not to resist evil, to do good to those who afflict evil upon us. Loved ones, that is the distinction. That is the distinction. That is the distinction that we must maintain. The distinction that we understand that in this world, evil will come against us. And if there's an example of such unique distinction, is our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself faced evil by men. He could have acted and called legions of angels, but the Lord Jesus lived what he preached. On the cross, and even on the way to the cross, he kept praying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Loved ones, that is the distinction that we have to maintain. And we must not never let the darkness of this world erase our distinction. The second reason here that we must never seek to revenge or pay back evil for evil is because revenge is never a gateway to peace, but an amplifier of evil. Again, I want you to pay attention to that, loved ones. Revenge is never a gateway to peace, but an amplifier of evil. You know, when the Lord Jesus was arrested at the Garden of Gethsemane, we read that the Lord Jesus, that this happened. He said, "Behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached out and drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then the Lord Jesus said to him, 'Put your sword back in its place, for all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword.'" Matthew 26, 51 through 52. What the Lord Jesus is saying is very important here. He said, engaging in violent acts invites violent response. In other words, if you engage in a violent act, you're going to expect, you should expect back a violent response. You know, using aggression as a primary tool to solve problem will inevitably lead to suffering the same fate. And loved ones, may I remind you, when you return evil for evil, you amplify that evil. You don't de-escalate it. You amplify it. The other person also wants to come back and do the same to you. And ultimately, evil is amplified. Chaos is promoted. The third reason is this. Why, as believers in Jesus Christ, we must not seek to pay back evil for evil. It is because we are God's workmanship, designed to be vessels of blessings, not vessels of violence. Again, loved ones, you want to write that down. We are God's workmanship, designed to be vessels of blessings, not vessels of violence. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3 will write this. He said, to sum up, all of us be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil, insult for insult, but giving a blessing. You want to underline that? Giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. What is Peter saying? Peter is trying to inform us here that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to be a source of blessing. We are to bless. When people do us wrong, we bless. Our calling is to be a source of blessing to this world. We are not meant to be vessels of violence, that we bless those who mistreat us. We pray for those who despitefully use us. That is the call of who we are called to be as believers. When we fail to do that, we fail in the calling to which God has called us into this world. And may I remind you, this world is full of violence. We must be people who stand out because we bless. We bless. Because ultimately, that is why you also have been called. To be a blessing. And the question this morning is this. Are you a vessel of blessing or are you a vessel of violence? Only you can answer that. But the call of God upon you as a Christian is to be a vessel of blessing because you have been called for that very purpose, that you too might inherit a blessing. So then, the Apostle Paul now flips from how we ought not to respond to now talk about how we are to respond to evil. Again, I want you to pay attention to verse 19 of Romans chapter 12. Paul, I believe here, beginning at verse 19, gives us twofold answer of how we are to respond to evil perpetrated against us. The first is this. Pay attention to this. He said to us here, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. I want you to pause right there, loved ones. That is the first way we respond to evil. We respond to evil by turning it over to God. We respond to evil by letting God do his work. I want you to pay attention. They said, but leave room for the wrath of God. Vengeance is God's prerogative. Now, you might say to yourself, but wait a minute. God said here, vengeance is mine. What does this really mean? Why God won't allow us? At least we dwell by the Holy Spirit, right? We dwell. We should be given the opportunity to inflict, pain on those who do us wrong. Why is vengeance God's prerogative? Well, there is a couple of answers here, loved ones, I want you to pay attention to. No, first, unlike God, humans cannot seek revenge with a purely righteous motives. Again, I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying. You and I cannot seek revenge. We cannot seek vengeance with a purely righteous motives. Our desire for vengeance is often mixed with anger and self-righteousness, which can cause us ultimately to sin. That is why James will remind us in James chapter 1, verse 20, is that for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Again, pay attention to that. The anger of man does not achieve the righteousness. Because in your anger, you also might be actually hiding your own hypocrisy. That is why we step back and let God be the one to avenge. You let God avenge. The second reason is this, why vengeance belongs to God. God is omniscient and perfectly just. Meaning, his justice is always righteous and appropriate. He has all the information about a situation and can administer a perfect response. While humans, in terms of our judgment, we are limited and prone to error. You see, loved ones, that's why God got to do it. God sees all things. He knows all things. And his justice is perfect. And God sees everything. You don't need to present no evidence before God. You don't need your attorney to come before God and try to defend you. God already knows everything that needs to be known about a situation. As such, his justice will always be perfect. His vengeance will always be right. Because we as humans, we are prone to error. At times, what you think might not be what it really is. That is why, as believers, we got to step back and let God be one to avenge. The third reason I believe vengeance belongs to God is this. Because by leaving vengeance to God, we free ourselves to begin to heal. I want you to watch what I'm saying this morning. To begin to heal. The notion of vengeance, anger, resentment is a weight upon your soul. This is what many don't understand. When you are angry, when you are upset and vengeful, it's a weight that you carry. It's a weight upon your soul. And as a weight upon your soul, it presses you down. And I believe there's so many Christians today who are sick, but the sickness is because they are carrying a weight of unforgiveness. They are unforgiving of a past abuse that they faced many years ago. They are carrying the weight of bitterness at a betrayal. They are carrying the weight of bitterness at an abandonment by a parent. They are carrying that weight. As such, they can heal. And may I remind you, you won't heal if you carry this weight. That is why we need to make room for God's vengeance. That is why we need to cast all our cares upon God. 1 Peter chapter 5, we need to cast all our cares upon him. God wants to carry this weight for us. God wants to be the one to avenge while you begin to heal. Why you need to begin to heal, to go to a therapist, to begin to heal, to take time to begin to heal. And may I remind you, there's so many of us that need to heal. So guess what? Take your anger. Take your frustration. Take your resentment. Take all your bitterness and cast it on Jesus. And you begin to heal. Let God be the one to avenge. You sit back and watch. But listen, Pastor Wally, listen, God is very slow in avenging. Well, I tell you what, most times we see that in scripture, that it seems that God is slow. But I may remind you, the wheels of justice might be slow, but it grinds real thin. God will judge every sin. God will avenge his people. May I remind you, the vengeance of God is brutal. Let God be the one to deal with it. You might say, listen, I want to deal. No, step back. Give it to God. God knows how to avenge. Now, I want you to also pay attention to Romans chapter 12 here. Not only that the Apostle Paul tells us to leave room, that's the first way to respond, for God's vengeance. But it goes back in the following verse, verse 20. It tells us how to respond to evil. It said we respond to evil by countering evil with love and goodness. I want you to pay attention to verse 20 and 21. It said, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You reading that, loved ones? The Apostle Paul said, listen, you got to counter evil with good. You got to counter evil with love. And you might say, listen, that is just a tall order. How can I do this? Well, I believe the way that we can counter evil with love is through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Every one of us sitting here that's a true believer, you are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And when you go to Galatians chapter 5 and you begin to read the fruit of the Spirit, the first fruit is love. In other words, if you're indwelled by the Holy Spirit has made available for you the ability to love the unlovable, to pray for those who abuse you, to give to those who don't deserve it. The Holy Spirit has made that ability available to you. That is why we can feed those that are enemies. When they're hungry, we feed them. When we're thirsty, we give them water to drink. We do that because we put burning coal. You might say, what does that expression mean? That means they begin to feel the weight of kindness. I don't know whether you've ever done this, that someone does you wrong and you show them kindness. All of a sudden, they feel the weight of that kindness. Because they feel, they see their wretchedness. And loved ones, that is what we want men and women to see. We want them to see their wretchedness. And it can only come when you as a believer counter evil with good. The Apostle Paul will close. He said, don't be overcome by evil. Don't let evil overcome you. You must overcome evil with good. Loved ones, that's our calling. We must overcome evil with good. We must be men and women who does good. We reveal to the world the uniqueness of who we are. We reveal to the world that Jesus is Lord, so that those who don't know Jesus, those who don't know God, will look at the community of believers and they will know there is a distinction here. Because these people love, and their love has identified them as true believers in Jesus Christ. Loved ones, this morning I tender to you, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We as God's people must let God be the one to avenge. Step back and let God do his work. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning we are thankful. Grateful, Father, for the mercy and the grace in Christ Jesus thou hast blessed us with. Holy Father, may thou now bless this time that thy word is declared. Bless both the declaration of thy word and the reception of thy word. Holy Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray and I give thanks. Amen.